Do you think that God can give you anything you ask? What did Jesus say about that? Coming up on Cross Connection. Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today. And Sergio, a great study is ahead of us.
As always, we're going to keep the streak going. Today's episode is called The Kids of the Kingdom. Jesus is going to continue developing his theme of exalting yourself by lowering yourself. Essentially, what he's saying is to grow up in the kingdom, you need to go back down to being like a little kid.
So the kingdom is for the kids. So what we will learn today is really exciting. And I'm glad because we are joined today by Tyler, Joshua, and Lauren. And tell me, how do you like the fact that you're in Cross Connection today?
Oh, I love the fact that I'm on Cross Connection.
I love it.
Joshua, were you looking forward to this moment when you
all night long?
All night. I wish you could say all week long. Okay, good. No, thank you so much for being a part of Cross Connection. And we would like to thank you also for being such an important part of our discussion. And Sergio, do we enjoy when people write comments?
No, the great thing about Cross Connection is it's not just this 1 hour here. Anytime, anywhere, get connected with us on social media, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we can keep this going 24/7.
Absolutely. So today we will continue our discussion on, and we are studying the Gospel of Luke. And I hope you're not tired. I hope you're not tired as well, because we see how everything comes into great perspective when we study the Gospel chapter by chapter. So what we need to remember, the Gospel of Luke can be divided into two sections. One is Jesus is in Galilee. Second, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. And that shift happens in Luke chapter 9. Jesus sets his eyes on Jerusalem. So he's on the way to Jerusalem because something major will happen in Jerusalem.
Yes.
What is that major?
The cross, his death, and the resurrection.
Exactly. Cross, death, and resurrection. So that's why whatever we look at through these three things.
Right.
Jesus' cross, death, and resurrection. And what is also important, these are the messages that Jesus is given before he is about to die. So these messages are of crucial importance. So let us pray, and then after we pray, we will get into the Word. And Joshua, could you say a quick word of prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us all here together today to study your holy Word, which is exciting. It's dynamic, Lord. It gives power to the weak. It makes us strong. And dear Lord, at this time, we pray that we may study and take in your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, that we may better know who you are and the things that you have done for us. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's get into the Word. So we're with Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. So we are in chapter 18, verses 1, all the way to verse 17. So let's take a look at three events that happen in Luke chapter 18. And so, Sergio, could you read for us chapter 18, verses 1 through 8?
Okay. This is the parable of the persistent widow. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?
Okay. So we see how the audiences that Jesus addresses his message to constantly change.
Right.
It's
yes.
the Pharisees, then it's the disciples, then it's Pharisees again, then it's some rulers. And then, so now we come to another area, which is again the disciples.
Yes.
The disciples. How do we know that it's the disciples?
Because of Luke 17.
Yeah. Well done. Did you study Luke 17 with them?
I did.
Oh, that's right.
I did.
Okay. Exactly. And I hope you also did. If you didn't, just go back and find us on our website, and you can watch that episode. So in Luke 17, we see that Jesus addresses his message to the disciples, and he talks about what? What did we talk at the end of chapter 17? Faith, of course, but what else? This twofold message of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. What is the twofold message of the kingdom? That it's, the kingdom is
here among us.
Yes.
And it also will come in Jesus' second coming.
Yes. Exactly. So those two elements. And now Jesus says, you already live in this kingdom and you're waiting for this kingdom. So now let's read verse 1 of chapter 18 again. Lauren, could you read verse 1 again?
Then he spoke a parable to them that men all ought always to pray and not lose heart.
So what is he talking about, Jesus? What is Jesus talking about here? That we ought to
pray.
Pray consistently.
Yeah. Why do you think Jesus placed such an important emphasis on prayer?
Because it's how we communicate with him. And essentially, when we communicate with God, when we talk to him, there's something that happens in us. You build a relationship. The more you speak with someone, the better you get to know them, and the better they get to know you.
Okay.
Yeah, so it opens up the heavenly communication. You know, Jesus becomes to us, more accessible, more tangible. And also, he communicates back. So it's not just about us talking vainly to him, but to persistently continue our conversation until things happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think to tie it to our previous study in the passage immediate before, it talks about the king that will come one day, but it also talks about the kingdom that is present among us. Mm. So how can I have it among, me within my heart is how else other than prayer?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, because if the king is not among us physically,
right, I need to pray.
I need to be in contact with us.
Yeah, right.
So this is very good. And this is good what we are talking about. It's a philosophical meaning of prayer, kind of, theological meaning of prayer. Yeah. But in the context of this parable that Jesus is talking about right now, look what happens here. It's just prayer is connected to almost begging. And then there's a character of this widow. Like, let's try to see. What do you see? What do you see from this parable in relationship to prayer?
Yeah, it's interesting because he's, again, comparing something that's kind of worldly or this judge here who's an unjust judge. Mm-hmm. But because she's praying so persistently and because she's almost annoying him or begging him, if you will, he actually turns around and gives her what she wants. Mm-hmm. It says, I will avenge her lest by her continual coming she weary me. That's what it says in Luke 18, verse 5. Mm-hmm. So she's persistently at it. It's not like, oh, Lord, I wish you would just do this one thing for me. And then we kind of forget what we pray. But to continually gain access to God through this, relevant, continual prayer. Mm-hmm. That we're seeking to get.
And this is exactly what we see also in the picture of Jesus. Jesus, how many times would he just be found praying on a mountain or somewhere else or just by himself?
Yeah, very often.
Yeah.
The most significant thing that stuck out to me throughout this whole parable was the fact that she said, get justice for me from my adversary. Mm-hmm. So if we think about our own lives, who is our adversary? Mm-hmm. It's the devil. So when we go to God and we consistently ask him, hey, dear Lord, please help me to get over this sin. Help me to have victory over my adversary. He'll listen and he'll help us.
I think there are a couple of things that are really interesting about this parable we haven't touched on yet. And one of those is that God is actually placed in contrast to this unjust judge. You know, a lot of times in parables, it's a one-for-one comparison. But in this way, it shows a judge that is unlike God. You know, and so let me see the verse where it says it. It says, I think verse 7 here, 18 verse 7.
Okay.
And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? So there's an unjust judge who's like, okay, stop bothering me. But God is the opposite. God is suffering along with you.
Right.
That
right.
is the difference, you know, and I think that's a key point to get. It's about the widow, and we need to pay some attention to her. But God is the opposite of an unjust judge who's, okay, stop bothering me. He's actually hurting along with you.
Yeah, it's like, how much more is this God going to do?
Exactly.
How much more is Jesus going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
If this unjust judge could do it, what can I do?
Especially one who's suffering along with you and doesn't want you to suffer.
And I love the question at the end. He's like, will we really find faith in the earth?
Right.
Is it really going to be here when I come? Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that who we see here is actually a widow.
Yes.
And if taking into consideration the first century context, widow has no status whatsoever. It's just widow is, she doesn't have any right to anything.
Not even really an identity.
No, not exactly, right. Because the identity would be like her husband. Right. First it's her father, and then if father is not present anymore, then it would be her husband. If husband is dead, then it would be her son. So those are three things, three people who can give her identity. Now, no identity whatsoever. That's why she can be easily marginalized.
Yeah.
But here, she's the one who comes,
I just love this story, because, especially because of the way that Jesus starts out saying that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. because it speaks to us now about how we need to be coming in faith with the things that we need. And this woman, she just keeps coming and coming and coming to this unjust judge. And as Sergio was saying, it's a contrast to God, because God is wanting to give us everything. And this man didn't want to give her anything, but because she wearied him, he was, you know, wanting to, you know, get rid of her. But how much more would God want to give
The life? Interesting thing too, Lauren, that you just sparked this in my mind, is that she knew that this judge could do it. She knew. She had faith in the judge. She knew that he could help her. So she didn't just settle for, oh, well, he said no. She just kept persisting and kept pouring herself out until he actually did.
And when we read this parable, or look at this parable through the prism, or taking into consideration the context of the previous chapter, which talks clearly first about that the kingdom is with us, among us, within us.
Accessible.
Accessible, exactly. And secondly, that it is something that will come.
Yeah.
The people can get really sad. Because it seems like, okay, yes, we do live in this kingdom, but at the same time, there is injustice in this world.
Right? Yeah, and we can't see it now. Where is it? You know, I'm looking around and you can lose faith.
Exactly.
But he's saying, don't lose faith.
Yeah, and he says, don't lose faith, because you ought to pray unceasing.
I just love that she, you know, keeps coming and coming and coming. And there's something significant in prayer and coming to God with what we need, even if he knows already what we need. And but just having it, it increases our faith to, as Tyler said, that she knew that he was able to do what she needed. So, you know, it's significant to claim those promises and come to God.
As a matter of fact, this reminds me so much of Jacob wrestling with God. Because when you really think about it, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And with this woman praying, it's, I'm going to consistently come to you. I'm going to keep bothering you, however you may feel about it, but you will answer my prayer. And you have that assurance to say, Lord, you know, I hear you, and you're capable of doing this for me. And that's why I'm coming to you in the first place.
But exactly. And what we see also is it's not just about begging also for the sake of begging.
Right.
But it's also experiencing this kingdom, because pledging allegiance, okay, you are my king now. Because who I pray to, I acknowledge that he is my king.
Yes.
If I come to my own resources to support myself, then it's just me supporting my own resources. Or if I come to this worldly unjust steward, then it's him. But if I say, no, God, you are my Lord, I will be praying to you, and then together we will do something.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a simple concept, but it's tough for us to grasp that despite our connection to God, bad things are going to continue to happen in this world and to us until the King comes again, you know. And so in that situation, don't lose heart.
Right.
Make sure that when he comes, he finds faith still.
Excellent. We will continue our discussion right after the break, so stick with us. We need to take a short break.
That's right. When we come back, Jesus is going to highlight a way to pray that looks very different from maybe what we're used to.
Welcome back, Tyler, Joshua, and Lauren. We are just so excited that you're with us, and we are also excited that you are joining us. We are talking about this very interesting parable when this widow comes to this unjust
judge
and constantly asks him for something, and then he grants her request. And Jesus, while presenting this parable, he also mentioned before, he said, you ought to pray unceasingly, constantly pray, because you need to understand, the kingdom of God is here, but you're also waiting for the kingdom that will come when Jesus will come again, his second coming.
Yeah.
And during this time, you will have some troubles.
Yeah.
Bad things will be happening to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Injustice will be happening.
Right. Mm.
You will be suffering, you will be struggling, and you will have mental afflictions or physical pain or whatever that may be, emotional pain, whatever that may be.
Well, and maybe that's why he highlights this widow as an example, someone who has no status, someone who has even really no identity or place within that culture because she has no attachment to a man now because she's a widow. So if even she can feel that she can keep going and push and fight for something from an unjust judge and expect something from this unjust judge, then how much more should we, you know, pursuing a just judge, you know, continue to be perseverant?
So in other words, she was faithful.
Yeah.
Right.
She was faithful to go and know, if I continue moving forward, I know that I will be granted my request. Let's read verse 8. And this is the last verse in our discussion about this parable. Mm-hmm. And Tyler, could you read verse 8?
I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?
So this is the second half of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he will come again.
Yes.
Jesus will come again, second coming. Here is the second coming. And the question is, will he find what?
Faith.
Faith.
On the earth.
It's interesting how faith can be also translated here as faithfulness. And there is a distinction between faith and faithfulness, I think.
Mm. Yes.
What do you think that distinction is?
See, faithfulness, it seems long-term.
Okay.
Faith is something you can have now. It could be gone later.
It's a manifestation of action.
Action, right?
There's
because faith, I can say, I believe in what? I believe that the earth is round.
Yeah. Right.
It's faith. Yes?
Faith is something I have that leads to something I do, which is faithfulness.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very good.
Faithfulness is something that Jesus is especially
emphasizing. It's the action,
The action, faithfulness. You can say, I believe in Jesus, that Jesus is God, the Son of God. So what?
Right.
So what? So what if you go home and beat your servants and get drunk and like all the parables we've read? Yeah.
Right.
Because even demons know and believe.
Tremble,
they have faith. So what? It doesn't make any difference. What makes a difference is your faithfulness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do we come and pray? Do we actually live this kingdom on earth now and wait for the kingdom of God that will happen in the future as his second coming?
Well, you know, just hearing you say that right now really brings up something in my mind that we get caught up waiting for the second coming. One day he'll come, one day he'll come.
We believe. Yeah, we have faith.
We believe one day he'll come, but the fact that he hasn't come yet means he's not here, which means how much more are we needed to help spread this kingdom in this world? Because he's not here yet, you know, not physically. I mean, of course, he is within us and among us, you know, that how much more then should I not sit back and wait?
Right.
You know, because until he comes, he needs us. We're his hands and feet.
To live out the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here now.
So faithfulness is something that Jesus is looking for in his disciples.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's why I would encourage you, and I would encourage you as well, and I would encourage myself to be faithful and act, not just believe, but to see and experience this faith becoming an action of faithfulness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move to our second parable. The parable, and this is a very interesting parable.
It is.
So we started with the prayer. Yes.
Right.
So it's about prayer, and the second one is also it continues this theme of prayer.
Yeah.
And let us read this parable, which is Luke chapter 17 verses
18.
Sorry, 18, 18 verses 9 through 14. And Sergio, could you read those verses?
Sure. Yeah. As also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Amen.
Okay, so here we see another parable about prayer. But that prayer is also connected to some faithfulness.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's also, look at this faithfulness. Both of them, it feels like we're faithful. Mm-hmm. Even this Pharisee was very faithful.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Seems so.
He was like one of the best members of his church.
Yeah, yeah, what do we know about this Pharisee?
Yeah, that he tithes. Mm-hmm. He's not an adulterer, mm-hmm. so he says. He's not unjust. He's definitely not like the tax collector. Mm-hmm. He fasts. I mean, actually, what I noticed here is he didn't even ask anything. He was like, God, I got it all together. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Thank you that I'm so great.
Thank you that I'm so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. He walks away. He puts his faith in what he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's all about not in God.
Right.
Yeah. So he puts his faith in the fact that he fasts and he gives, you know, tithe and offerings and is so much more righteous than all these other people. And he's completely missing having faith in God.
This is so important. Look what we talked about in previous chapters. Where is your heart? Whether you put your heart in mammon or this money.
Or yourself.
Money or yourself or your resources, your own resources. Or do you put your heart in God?
Well, and it really helps highlight even the previous verses that we just read for me, and that it tells me, okay, so our takeaway is I must not just have faith, but faithfulness. I need to go out there and live the kingdom. But living doesn't mean tithing and doing all of these things just for the sake of exalting your own self. Maybe what I need to do to be faithful is, beat my chest and go back to God and ask for his mercy. Maybe that's what faithfulness is.
Maybe being faithful is saying I'm not faithful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not faithful enough.
Help my unbelief.
Yeah. Yeah. Recognizing our need of God.
What Lauren, you pointed out, it was very important also, because look what happens here is just, Jesus just talked about faith. Mm. Will I find faith or faithfulness? Mm. And then here's this parable. Mm. Here we see a person who feels that he's faithful in everything, but he puts his faith in what? In what he has. Himself, mm-hmm. his own righteousness, if you will. But Jesus says, no, this is what real faith is about.
Yeah.
The real faith is about beating yourself your chest and saying, Lord, please help me to live a better life because I want to be yours.
And again, in light of free will and God honoring free will, who is the only one that could have an answer? It would have to be the tax collector, because he said, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. The Pharisee asked nothing. Mm. He asked nothing of God. The tax collector did.
Yeah.
So it shows the difference. Mm.
So what can we learn then about humility and its relationship to Christian work?
I just continue to marvel at the people that are highlighted in these parables and what it tells me about the kingdom, you know, because like sometimes it'd be easy for me to think, even Samaritans can be a part of the kingdom, even widows, even tax collectors, not even, those are heroes of the kingdom of heaven.
So
like, it just challenges even me, you know, not being someone who I don't feel I'm necessarily oppressed or an outcast of society. I need to be more like them. It's not just that it's also inclusive of them. It's these are the people that Jesus decides he wants to have represent his kingdom.
Exactly. And I can say even me.
Yeah.
Even I can be a part of this kingdom, because I'm this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm no different than these sinners. So in light of looking at Jesus and all of his love and all of his mercy, the Gospel of Luke is just totally portraying that the kingdom of heaven is for anyone who would accept it, anyone who would allow Jesus into their hearts and their lives.
And it's frequently those that the world has said, I don't want you, that are primed to be in a position to say, okay, I want the kingdom instead.
True. Mm-hmm.
And it's not about what we do, because so many times we think this person must be so great because they do all these things right. And this Pharisee was doing good things, but he was putting his faith in the things that he did instead of in God. And so there was a lack of humility there and a lack of faith.
Yeah.
So so we do see this danger of falling into this trap of becoming a Pharisee or express this Pharisaic behavior today.
Right. Yeah.
So how can we fall into this without even realizing? Because if you look at this Pharisee, he didn't realize that he was doing something. If he had known that.
No, that's key, because we all can fall into that. It's just our circumstances. It's easy for someone that the world has already humbled to be in that humble state and go, I need the kingdom.
Good point.
What about those of us that the world hasn't humbled that much?
Yes.
What about those of us that think that we're in a pretty good position?
Or we gradually, and then we gradually fall into this behavior without even knowing that.
Then I need to make that effort of humbling myself, because the world hasn't humbled me, you know?
Right.
So we actually have to do that extra work ourselves, make sure that we humble ourselves, because it's when you're there that the kingdom really makes sense.
Yeah.
No, this is very important because sometimes, especially looking at this, it's just, this was the religious leader, Pharisee. It's the religious leader of any community. Today, religious leaders as well, those people who host shows on any channels, or those people who preach, or even people who go to church. This is what we are. We feel like, okay, now we are leaders. We've reached this point. But what is the most important and crucial part is to understand that we need to also humble ourselves.
Right. Mm.
And this is what the effort that we need to make.
Yeah, and because it's easy for all of us here. It's easy for you to go, hey, I host a show. I'm on this show.
It's you who needs to make it.
Lord, hey, I've been in 3 shows in a row of Cross Connection. I could, you know, but it, we need to remember that that's... What's that worth?
Because we are that widow.
Yeah,
right. Because Jesus is reminding us. Yeah. He's comparing us to that widow who has no status, who has no... And that's why the next parable that... Not parable, sorry. The next event will even more unwrap it for us so that we could understand what it is to become a child. Yeah. This is just...
Want to be kids of the kingdom. That's what the whole show is about.
The kids of the kingdom, exactly. Yep. So that's why it's just... how would you take it like one step further now, from today, and just make it a real practical thing in your life? Just humbling yourself. Not just... And again, we can also become Pharisees by humbling ourselves. Yeah. Because they can say, oh, now I'm humbling myself in front of the camera or in front of anybody else. No, we need to be genuine also.
Yeah, right. What's been humbling me is just studying the gospel in its simplicity. Mm. I mean, just seeing how Jesus contrasts these things and the stories that he's using. And like Lauren said in our last study, that it's like they're timeless pieces of sayings that are just so relevant, these timeless principles that just have the ability to humble us like nothing else can. Mm-hmm. So seeing Jesus, just live as Jesus, hanging out with Jesus, is what actually helps me to be more humble.
Beautiful.
You know, I think it's strange. It's almost scary for me to say. I think it's when I'm in the most realization that I'm a sinner. It is when I'm in sin, so to speak, that I realize that that's when my humility comes. I think it's when we forget that we're sinners, we think that we're pretty good. You know, there are prayers where I come to God and it's like, I'm so embarrassed to even have to come and repent because I know better. You know what I mean? Like, I've said this prayer before and I'm so embarrassed to even say it. Maybe that's when I'm closest to where I need to be,
right.
You know, when I realize what a sinner I'm at. Maybe it's when I'm in the throes of sin that I most realize how much I need God.
So I think this is the time for you to think about what Sergio just said. So we will continue thinking and meditating on what he just said, and we will meet you after the break.
That's right. Our study of the kids of the kingdom continues. These kids here will be right back.
Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself. I know you feel the same. So what we just saw is just incredible. Jesus first says, do not stop praying. Mm. Pray unceasingly, because just be like that widow without any status, but she was constantly coming to Jesus and praying and praying. Then he said, I want you to be faithful, because when I come to this world again, when second coming, will I find faithfulness and faith?
Yeah.
And then the next parable is about this Pharisee who knows it all, who pays his tithe, who knows all doctrines of anything. He knows everything about God. Mm. God, it feels like, but he doesn't know anything about Jesus. And then this tax collector who beats himself and understands and humbles himself. No. Let's read verse 14 together. Verse 14. And Joshua, could you read verse 14? Luke 18, 14.
Sure. Verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
So who went home justified?
The tax collector.
The tax collector. And the Pharisee is not. Okay, let's continue reading.
For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Mm. So you see, this is the punchline. Jesus is just, this is the conclusion. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled.
Yes. Mm.
No. And that who humbles himself
will be exalted.
It's a real contrast between the first story and the second, because this woman comes continually with a need. And as Tyler was saying, this Pharisee isn't even asking for anything. Yeah, he's just proclaiming all of his goodness. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying here that we need to come with our need, and instead of exalting ourselves, humbling ourselves and saying, God, I need you. I need you to know me.
Yeah, it's probably one of the forgotten virtues in some circles, and I hope we will revive it. And this is what the Gospels are constantly trying to say again and again. Humility is something that God is looking in His children, looking for in His children.
Yeah.
So this humility, the only problem that can be that can happen is sometimes it's just there is like this fake humility, because many people know that humility is something that a Christian needs to possess. How can we be on our guard from this false humility now?
I would just say by remembering how terrible we are. You know, I have no good thing in me. You know, I love the writings of Paul because he writes that in my flesh there is no good thing. So if there is anything of any merit that I do or accomplish, it's not because of me, but it's because of God. So I try to keep that and reinforce it. And also that even when I talk to God, I might as well just straight out tell him the truth because he knows everything that I'm thinking anyway. So I can't try to act as if I'm better than I actually am because he knows everything that I am.
Yeah,
oftentimes there's a false humility that solicits praise or elevation. So you say, oh, I that was terrible, and I, you know, and people will say, oh, no, it was wonderful, and try to build them up.
Right.
And so, you know, like you were saying, you know, there's a way for us to act like we're, you know, being humble, but we need to consider our motives and see where that, you know, where that is leading us and what we're really saying.
That's really speaking to me and my experience, and something I've actually been working on myself in the last little bit is to just shut up, you know, because I think that we like to tell everyone about all these, you know, things that we're going through, oh, I just did this, that, and the other. And just be quiet. You know what I mean? If you really are, if it really is humility, if it really is something that you're suffering through or something that you, you know, just keep, you know, what's the point of telling other people to just, you know, get exalted for it? Sometimes we like to turn these situations into a way to, like, look good, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that's something that I'm having to remind me, just shut up, quiet, you know?
Tyler.
Also, we can kind of take this motif of, well, yeah, I'm not really a good teacher, or I'm not really a good... Like, for example, if you were to say, I'm not a good teacher, would that be humble or would that be a lie? I mean, honestly, that would be a lie. Yeah. He is a great teacher, so...
Okay,
so, you know, and that's the point. It's like...
Thank you for exalting me.
Yeah, of course, but... And because it's something that we can often fall into, to like, oh, I'm not... But it's... God wants us to have a sense of our identity in Him. Whatever we do that's good is to show forth the kingdom that exists within us. So the good things that we're showing to everyone are the very things that God wants us to show, but who's taking credit for it is the question. Are you taking credit for it, or is God taking credit for it?
Yeah, because it's very easy to turn from a humble person to a Pharisee. Because even by humbling yourself, you can become the Pharisee. So that's why Jesus is constantly reminding us again and again, I want you to understand that genuine, not actors, because sometimes we become actors or hypocrites by just humbling ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
This is what God is strongly against.
Yeah.
Only by connecting to Him, only by abiding and living with Him, and only by understanding that all people are equal, I cannot exalt myself. I should not exalt myself because they are the same. We are the same.
Right.
We are on the same level. Why am I trying to say that I'm a good, better teacher? Because I'm not. Because we all are the same, and we are all just functioning differently.
Yeah.
We just have our own roles.
Right.
So this is what we need to remind ourselves. We are brothers and sisters who are equal.
Yeah.
Well, the next story is just mind-blowing also.
All right.
So it's Jesus comes and blesses children. Sergio, what is this story about? It's just a few verses, three verses, so we should probably read them.
Yeah, sure. This is Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.
Okay, so do you see how all these three stories, they are connected?
Yeah.
Connected with prayer and then connected with something else. So, Lauren, I see that you...
Yeah, I mean, there are these people who are not considered, who are the least of society.
We
have the widow, we have the tax collector, and then we have the children.
Yeah.
And so here are the children, the disciples are trying to shoo them away and let the more important people or those who are greater in society have a presence closer to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, no, this is what it's all about.
Right. So it's status rejecting again. Yeah. Jesus is constantly like saying, by the way, let me tell you what this kingdom is about.
Right.
It's about rejecting any status.
Yes.
Any status. Because all of these people who are marginalized, they are the ones who are welcome. And this is what our hidden treasure is about. So let's check it out. Jesus said that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Many attribute romantic qualities to children when reading this passage. They emphasize such qualities as innocence, openness, and trusting. But is this really what the text says? You see, in the time of Jesus, the society was based on honor and status. Only those who had high status were considered to be honorable and pious. Children, however, possessed little, if any, intrinsic value as human beings in that society. They might be valued only for their contribution to the family business, especially in an agricultural context. The disciples denied little children access to Jesus because they thought Jesus had more important things to do. After all, children were of little value, and Jesus should not waste his time on them. The response of Jesus is striking. He not only welcomes little children, but also commands his disciples to do so. Luke 18:17 should be read, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as one receives a little child will never enter it." The message of the gospel is clear. Those who do not welcome anyone because they have a lower status or are not honorable enough will never enter the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no status. All are equal, all are welcomed, and all are most valuable. And that's today's hidden treasure. So many times when this passage is quoted or read, we always think about what? Like as qualities of children.
Mm, yes, yeah.
So just we can talk about innocence, we can talk about their faithfulness. Maybe
their ability to trust.
Yeah. Trust, etc. And this is true. This is also true because this is who children are. But what Lauren pointed out before the hidden treasure, this is what was also expressed in hidden treasure, that it's the status, their status was extremely low.
Mm.
And when Jesus quotes this verse, let's just read this verse again, verse 17. Tyler, could you read verse 17 for us?
It says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it."
Mm. But
the better way to translate this in the original language would be to say, if you don't receive the kingdom of God by receiving little children, you won't enter in.
Yeah.
So, or as you would receive a little child.
As you would receive a little child.
Yeah.
So it's about living out the kingdom experience now.
Yes.
About accepting the widows and the tax collectors and the children and finding value in them.
Mm.
Because if you're not living it now, then it's not going to
happen later.
Yeah.
Be something
yeah.
that.
But it makes total sense because place yourself on the side of these disciples. Like, be among these disciples.
Right.
The disciples just tried to get rid of these
children.
Get behind us.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says, let me tell you, unless you accept them, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
We will have to take this very short break. But after this break, we will continue our discussion. And I hope you're excited to find out what is ahead of us.
That's right. And one point we've seen over and over on Cross Connection lately is that it's actually when you lower yourself that you find yourself lifted up. Up next, we're going to get some amazing insights from you on exactly how we can do that.
Wow. Welcome back. We are talking about this beautiful picture of Jesus after he presents this teaching on his second coming and also on the fact that the kingdom of God is here. Then he continues something else. And Tyler, Joshua, and Lauren, tell me, what do we see developing here? And when he says to his disciples, Do not hinder these little child from me. I want to receive them. What can we learn from this?
What sticks out in my mind is the fact that the children had to be brought to Christ, just as we're supposed to lead others to Christ. Mm. So just, you know, people need a helping hand at times. Mm-hmm. And most times we're the face of Christianity. People aren't just going to walk down the street, oh, there's a Bible on the ground, I'm going to open it up, learn all these amazing truths, and all of a sudden, you know, I claim to be a child of God. They have to see that in someone else. You know? So we have to literally lead others to Christ.
Okay, we lead others to Christ, but what we can be also hindrance, a stumbling block.
Yeah, yes. But not shutting people out, you know? For example, I work with interns in my profession, and as I have this one intern I'm thinking of specifically, he's still in college, you know, he's studying to be what I'm doing, and he comes up with the most profound thing. So if I were to look at him and say, oh, you're just an intern, you don't know anything, just go and do what I ask you to do, I would learn, for one, nothing from him, and we'd get actually less work done. Not only would I be hindering his growth, but I'd also be hindering my own. So he's trying to tell us, do not hinder yourself or others by shutting out people who you think are less significant than you.
Because there is no such thing as less significant than
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Because all people are equal in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Here and for eternity.
Forever. Yeah.
If you think that somebody is less than you, sorry, this is what Jesus says, then you will not be
in the kingdom.
In the kingdom.
The kingdom is not for you, if that's how you think.
Because that person who is less than you will be there.
Yeah.
And you will have to be.
You won't enjoy it. You'll be right next to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's just like Lazarus and the rich man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Lauren, what do you feel Jesus is trying to tell you?
Well, I feel like Jesus is saying here that it's not what you expect it to be, and that you need to begin living it out now. So as you embrace these people who are marginalized by society, as you take the children and those that are considered least, you are getting to know those that are going to be your neighbors in heaven, and you're also understanding God better in the process, understanding his intent for us and the kingdom of God here now.
So that's why Jesus, in previous chapter, we read about Jesus talking about the kingdom of God is within you or among you, within you in plural, among this community, among you. And then he also talked about the fact that he will be coming again. And now we see when he talks in verse 17, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not welcome children, they will not enter into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I want to take a comment from one of our fourth guests, Monique, talking about this status rejection, how essential it is to our walk in the kingdom. Monique says, society tells us that we should associate with certain groups of people, those who are popular, wealthy, or have achieved a certain status or level of success. This is not what Jesus taught. Jesus was criticized for associating with the poor or the lowly. Humility means treating everyone equally and not esteeming the CEO as better than you or the homeless person on the street less than you. It's having a quiet confidence that you are in Christ, not in possessions or position. I like that. Not in possessions or position.
Yeah, that's really good.
So that's fundamental to the kingdom mindset.
So, and then now the goal of disciples, because this was the message was directed to disciples. The goal of disciples, and the message is clear. We need to reject all statuses.
Yeah.
If anything, we need to promote statusless life.
Yeah.
We cannot elevate somebody. We cannot elevate ourselves. We cannot say that somebody is better. Somebody can preach better. Somebody can cook better. Somebody can do anything better. No, we are all equal.
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus is constantly emphasizing. No, because the kingdom of God is full equality, because even children can preach better than you can.
Yeah, well, I like the point that you made, Tyler, about the importance of status rejection, not for its own sake, but because that is what drives the engine of the kingdom forward, you know, and without it, then it will stall. You know, we look back at this this Pharisee who's praying in the parable. Like, what good is he in the world? Like, really, what is he doing? What is the point of him fasting twice a week? What is the point of him praying separate from everyone else? What is he contributing to the world? Right. You know? And it's actually when you can realize man, there's so much wrong with me. I've received this incredible gift. I want to share it with the world. That's when you're doing something of value. So it's, how do you, what does your kingdom look like? Is it this thing where you feel so exclusive and you feel so great and, hey, you better join our group or else when you die, you're going to go to hell? Or is it, man, I have this incredible gift and let's share it with the world?
Yeah, this is so cool because, again, Jesus is dealing with his leaders and he's talking about leadership principles and things. And I remember one time when I started working with an organization and the CEO came to me and he said, you know, I want you to know that even though you're new here, this is your first assignment, I want to let you know that I and you are equals, and we're going to work together as a team. So don't look at me as I'm higher than you and you're down here and you've got to somehow work your way up by proving yourself, whatever. We're all in the same playing field. Do you know that we got the most work done together?
Yeah.
Because we had that connection of we're together in this. So he's trying to show us, you know, the disciples are his future leaders. They're going to take his organization and bring it to fruition and continue leading it on. But how are they going to do that if they're always comparing themselves with each other and always rejecting people and they're not letting people learn and grow? So he wants us to have this humble spirit of being like him, but also to lift each other up and keep each other in the same place.
Because this humility, we just talked about humility also. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that this false humility. Mm-hmm. And false humility is also a child of superiority.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel superior, or I want you to exalt me so that you could feel that you are lower than me.
Right. Like,
what is going on?
It's a riff off of the Pharisee's prayer, right? Because I got, thank you that I am so humble.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Get caught up in how humble I am.
But the humility, true humility, starts with the realization that children are welcome. I want to welcome this child because then we are completely equal. This is what true humility is.
Right.
Humility
is
for CEO to come and say, you know what, we are equal.
Yeah.
Let's just have lunch together. Let's just continue moving forward together. Then the work is done, what Sergio was saying. And this is the beauty of the kingdom.
That's the point. Yeah.
It's just this beautiful equality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when we ignore humility, it requires ignoring all the other people that have lived kingdom-like or kingdom-esque lives around us to lift us up. Mm-hmm. And so we start taking credit for all the ways that these incredible people have helped to make me who I am. So I can start, man, I'm so great, I'm so what? Well, my parents, ignoring all the work that my parents did to raise me into the person I am, ignoring all of the work that my friends have done to help lift me up and do amazing things in my life. Now I start to actually take credit for that, things that have nothing to do with me. Other people have lifted me up. And then, so it's just a lie, really, ultimately. Right. A lack of humility is just a lie. It's a lack of acknowledging the things that God has done for you, but even just the people around you have done to you and helped bring you to where you are. So really, it's just this false lie of a mindset, you know.
This is so incredible. So let's bring it into perspective now, and because this is the conclusion of our discussion. So we saw in the previous chapter, chapter 17, that Jesus clearly stated that the kingdom of God is within you. And you can read chapter 17 by yourself. It's just verses 20 and 21. Then Jesus also presents this grand picture. He says that the kingdom of God is ahead of us. And so it's within us and it's ahead of us. It may be difficult to understand, but we need to remember that we are citizens of his kingdom right now, here.
And it's all around us.
It's all around
us. That's what he's saying.
Exactly. It's all around us. Maybe not in us, but we need to find it somewhere else. But he encourages us to become that kingdom as well.
Yes.
And live that kingdom. And then he says, you will see this injustice while waiting for, because even though you live in this kingdom, but the injustice is still present. But remember, you need to pray. And then he moves to another point, which is very important. Humbly realize that we need to come to God humbly and acknowledge that the other person is, if not equal, greater than you.
Right.
If not greater than you, then equal, at least. This is what we see, this progression. But let me ask you a question. How can we, in today's world, continue living what, as Jesus was saying, realizing that the kingdom of God is here and now, and also anticipating this kingdom that will come when he will come and take us back home, the second coming?
Well,
how can we do it?
I'd like to take a comment from Lorna, actually, that I think kind of gets at a new angle for us. Lorna says, this is in response to the question, how can we humble ourselves? How can we start living out this kingdom? Lorna says, by setting down our own agenda, our own legalistic and idealistic viewpoint, and being willing for just a moment to imagine someone else's story without judgment, but with love and compassion, and find a way to understand. I immediately think of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Pharisee's far off. Tax collector, poor guy's beating his chest openly. He has no one. What if that Pharisee had gone and consoled him and said, hey, what's wrong? You know, what's going on with you? You know, is there any way that I can help? You know, like, it's okay. Don't beat yourself. You know, like, come back to my house. You know, like, a lot of times we fail to view other people as human beings, you know, and really know that wherever that they're coming from, a place that their life experience has brought them to that place, you know, and we need to be more understanding of others around us. And that really will see the kingdom manifest more.
Yeah. Beautiful. What would you say?
Well, I think that what stands out to me is, like we were saying, having preference one for another. And like Sergio was saying, like the Pharisee had elevated himself to this high status, and he didn't see himself as equal with anyone else, much less this tax collector who is a sinner and the least in society. And when we remove those barriers, when we remove the status that we create for ourselves and take on the heaven mentality, that we're all on the same plane and we put each other first, then we begin to understand what it is that God had intended for us.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent. What really sticks out in my mind is just to say, whatever God has given me, I want someone else to have that same thing. Mm-hmm. So these little children, as the Bible mentions it, I want to meet more people who were once in a position as I was and introduce them to Christ and say, look, I want you to now experience what I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. And because I love you and because we're all children of God, I want us to all just, you know, be with him one day. And what that means for me is just, you know, share the word with them and share my experiences with them.
This is beautiful, because not only do you want to be this kingdom, but you also want to invite more and more people to become this kingdom in this world.
Exactly.
This is great, because then you want them to experience Jesus Christ face to face, just as you once experienced him, and experienced his gift, just as you experienced his gift. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, you know, when I think of that, of wanting to go back, you know, like what Jesus has done to me, and I want to go back, metanoia, I want to elevate my mindset and turn around and follow Jesus again. What we find in the Gospel of Luke and all the Gospels is that if you look for Jesus, that will inevitably bring you lower, because that's where Jesus was. And that's where he was always lowering himself, to the point where babies, they're not even people yet. Like these people, they're literally not even people yet. And these are the citizens of my kingdom, and I'm accepting them in. It just really speaks to me that I want to go back to Jesus. It's going to always mean a downward trip. Mm-hmm. You know, just follow Jesus down there. You don't have to do something that he didn't do first, you know?
Yeah. If you follow Jesus, you follow him down to Jerusalem, to the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler.
My thought is, to be humble is to be great. Mm. When you're humble, you're great. You're a great person by being humble, by being like Jesus. And think about this, the God of all heaven, the one who created everything, humbled himself and came to this pathetic planet to show us how to live. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it means to be great, in my opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed our discussion, and I hope that you also enjoyed our discussion. Have you
enjoyed
our discussion?
Yes, I have. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
We saw and we experienced how this kingdom manifests itself, and this is what Jesus wants us to experience more than anything else.
Yeah.
He wants us to humble ourselves so that we can be this blessing to others.
Yeah,
this
and it again comes back to the cross. If I have a hard time doing that, then it's when I'm looking at Jesus, who has died for me and for everyone else, all the people that I even have a hard time accepting. When I see that he died for them too, it becomes a lot easier to then lower myself and humble myself.
That is why it's so important to understand that this chapter is the chapter that leads us to the cross, when Jesus will be dying on the cross. This has been a great study. Thank you so much. The story ends with Jesus elevating the status of little children who were marginalized. Jesus teaches a powerful lesson here. Everyone is valuable in the kingdom of God, and we need to value each other just as God values us. Until next week, stay connected with Jesus in your everyday life and on Cross Connection.